We read the scriptures again this morning in Joshua chapter 3. The passage that we'll meditate upon will be verse 4. We'll be looking at the entire chapter through the lens of verse 4 of Joshua 3. God's word in Joshua 3. And Joshua rose early in the morning, and they removed from Sittim and came to Jordan, he and all the children of Israel, and lodged there before they passed over. And it came to pass after 3 days that the officers went through the host, and they commanded the people, saying, When ye see the ark of the covenant of the Lord your God, and the priests, the Levites, bearing it, then ye shall remove from your place and go after it. Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. And Joshua said unto the people, Sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And Joshua spake unto the priests, saying, Take up the ark of the covenant, and pass over before the people. And they took up the ark of the covenant, and went before the people. And the Lord said unto Joshua, This day will I begin to magnify thee in the sight of all Israel, that they may know that as I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. And thou shalt command the priests that bear the ark of the covenant, saying, When ye come to the brink of the water of Jordan, ye shall stand still in Jordan. And Joshua said unto the children of Israel, Come hither and hear the words of the Lord your God. And Joshua said, Hereby ye shall know that the living God is among you, and that he will, without fail, drive out from before you the Canaanites, and the Hittites, and the Hivites, and the Perizzites, and the Girgashites, and the Amorites, and the Jebusites. Behold, the ark of the covenant of the Lord of all the earth passeth over before you into Jordan. Now therefore take you 12 men, out of the tribes of Israel, out of every tribe a man. And it shall come to pass, as soon as the soles of the feet of the priest that bear the ark of the Lord of all the earth, shall rest in the waters of Jordan, that the waters of Jordan shall be cut off from the waters that come down from above, and they shall stand upon a heap. And it came to pass, when the people removed from their tents to pass over Jordan, and the priests bearing the ark of the covenant before the people, and as they that bear the ark were come unto Jordan, and the feet of the priests that bear the ark were dipped in the brim of the water, for Jordan overfloweth all his banks all the time of harvest, that the waters which came down from above stood and rose up on an heap very far from the city of Adam, that is beside Zaratan. And those that came down toward the sea of the plain, even the salt sea, failed and were cut off. And the people passed over right against Jericho. And the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of Jordan. And all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan. May God reverence and bless his word to our hearts. Verse 4, Yet there shall be a space between you and it, about 2,000 cubits by measure. Come not near unto it, that ye may know the way by which ye must go. For ye have not passed this way heretofore. As we stand in the opening hours of the year 2021 and peer into its months, its weeks, its days, and its hours, we find ourselves this morning saying more than usual about a coming year. We have not passed this way before. The future, of course, is always unknown to us. We cannot see beyond the moment of the present. We have not walked the streets and gone through the experiences of 2021. We can't see beyond the present. God knows the future. He has been there already. Known unto God are all of his works from the beginning, Acts 15:17. Isaiah 14:24, as I have thought, so shall it be, and as I have purposed, so shall it come to pass. And so we say to each other this morning that you and we say that on every New Year's, you and I do not need to know the future. We need only to know him who holds the future in his hand for us. But 2021 is different. We have uncertainty. We have apprehension. We have misgiving. We have a measure of anxiety. We have had experiences in the year gone by, 2020, which tell us somewhat what it must be like. Yet, we keep saying to each other, when will things return to normal? When will things be like they were? Because we sense they will not return to normal, and that it is not God's will for us that they go back to normal. We have not passed this way before. We sense that in every direction. We sense that in the direction of our nation politically. We see anarchy. We see ungodliness becoming bold. We see direct opposition and sneer upon the Christian faith in this world, in our country. We sense that anxiety in our churches this morning. It hurts our hearts. Suspicion, accusation, and schism, especially as we saw last night when we're at that hour of darkness and the need for unity to stand is so urgent. We wonder about our schools. We question how long can they stay open. COVID covers our thinking. And then in so many personal ways, on a personal level, we have fears and anxieties. Many of us are tired. Many of us feel a stress of the past year. And now we must go into another year expecting more and greater of the same, perhaps. Our patience is exhausted. It can well be, regardless of the world in which we live, a personal stress, a stress in your marriage, a stress in your job and finances, a stress in your spiritual life and the battle against sin. You may fear or be tired or wonder how you will make it in this year. This is the passage of the Word of God that comes from heaven to us this morning, from the hands of our Heavenly Father, that He wishes to have written upon our hearts in this year. We find in this text that Israel must remove from their tents, that they must obey the call of Joshua, that they must go into a land to conquer this land that they have never seen before, that they must somehow get over a river that is overflowing its banks, that has a current, that has rapids, that has swirling pools, that will draw anyone away to a drowning death. and yet they are called to go forward by faith. We see here that the Word of God fixes their and our eyes. Their eyes had to be fixed. They had to be looking on one thing, the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord God, the living God, the precious blood that that Ark represented in Jesus Christ. They had to fix their eyes on the covenant of God. The Word came to their feet. They had to follow in a reverence that Ark. They had to devote themselves and sanctify themselves to God. And that Word came to their heart, that they needed to remember that there was one who would abide with them, the living God. And so this is written for our encouragement for the coming year. Our theme is, we have not passed this way before. And I'll point out to you the untrodden way, the step of faith, and the assurance of a safe passage. Joshua, who had only recently replaced Moses, who had led them for 40 years, was an unproven and an untested leader. And in candor to all of the people, he summarizes the position that God's people were in on that morning. We haven't passed this way ever before. He means to tell them, we are indeed confronted by something different now, something unique, something that really is outside of previous experiences, something in which we are uncertain about what should be done. He says in verse 4, tell them, he says this to the people through the elders, tell them that we're going to follow the Ark of the Covenant of God from a distance, that we may know, or better, that we may learn the way that we must go. He's a leader who's saying, I'm not exactly sure which way to go. Israel had just broken up their camp at a place called Sittim, which was the last camp in the wilderness. And they had come to the bank of the Jordan River for 3 days in their tents, waiting to do something. Sittim, from which they had just come, the last place in the wilderness, was the place where the people of Israel had grievously sinned. It was the place of Baal Peor, when the daughters of Moab and Midian had danced before the young men, and they had committed open fornication in the camp, and they had bowed down to worship Baal, and the Lord had sent a plague, and 24,000 had been slain. They are about to enter Canaan, and yet they showed how unworthy they were and what would happen to them if their evil was not checked by God's grace. In the 3 days that they have been camped at the bank of the Jordan, Joshua has sent spies to get an idea of what was in front of them, if, that is, they could get over the Jordan. That was the first problem. But he had learned that there were walled cities. There were standing armies. There was a dangerous terrain. It wasn't like the wilderness that they were used to. There were woods and valleys, and there were cities. And then, of course, there was the question, the immediate question of how do you get over a swirling, flooded river? Something like the Grand River in April, which floods its banks, and there's no Johnson Bridge, no bridge over it. And there's no boats. How do you get your family over that? And so there was difference that was confronting them. And they felt, Joshua felt unprepared to lead in these differences. They had gone through 40 years of normal. It wasn't easy, but it was normal. 40 years. in the wilderness. And so Joshua is summing it very well. We have not passed this way before. This is an untrodden path. Bear in mind that they're leaving the wilderness where their needs, water and food, had been provided for them. They didn't have to go collect it. There were enemies in the wilderness, all right, but they were nomads. They were marauders. They were those who would hit and run. But now in Canaan, these were established, warlike nations with strong cities. There were the seven nations of the Canaanites that would attack them and seek their blood. And not only were the heathen of that land dense so that they would have to deal with them and they would oppose them, but their cities and their gods and their young people presented a spiritual temptation now to the Israelites. It wasn't like living in the desert when you hardly saw someone who was not of your family. And then they had to cross the Jordan. And we say, well, what about the Red Sea? They crossed the Red Sea. That was true. But the only people that day who had experienced crossing the Red Sea were over 60 years old, which was not the majority of the people at that time. The vast majority had never seen the Red Sea open. Something like, so they wouldn't know, that wouldn't be fresh in their memory necessarily. Something like, if I say, and I'm going to date us now when I say this, do you remember Y2K? You have to be at least over 25 to know what I'm talking about. When the year 2000 came, and supposedly on New Year's Day, our microwaves wouldn't work and planes would fall out of the sky because the computer was not programmed for anything called 2000, Y2K. And so we were upset. Do you remember that? Probably most of us don't even remember that. But not only was it so long ago, the Red Sea, but the Jordan had a current, as I've emphasized. It wasn't like the Red Sea that there could be an avenue right through it with the walls standing up. This is a current. If the waters are stopped, what's going to happen to the flow of the river? How do you pass something that has a current in it? And so they felt that they had come to a new situation, a world that was more hostile, a world that was more uncertain, impossibilities of a greater nature. We have not passed this way before. And that's very much like how we might feel this morning about 2021. We know who holds the future in 2021. That's our comfort. But we say to God this morning, Lord, we have not passed this way before. And Lord, how can we know the way? We say this morning, what about the position of thy dear church in the world? Doesn't that concern you this morning? Not simply over issues of COVID, although that certainly has taught us of how the government can dictate and require things about worship. But not just that, more importantly, the attitude more and more that we see in our country toward the faith of the Lord Jesus Christ and toward the contempt and toward the sneer that the world more and more identifies Christianity as the problem, as that which is intolerant and bigoted as they see it. And as I said last night, God's law for human gender and for marriage and for sexual relationships is despised, and everything must go the way of individual choice and freedom. God's law and his word is out the door entirely. You may consider it. And then none of us have gone through physical persecution. We've had people look at us. We've had people perhaps confront us. But now the possibility exists of greater persecution and of society propagandized against the Church of Jesus Christ. And then, as I said, there's also our own beloved churches. And we cry to God to preserve us in the way of truth and humility and wisdom and peace. It may be true for your families. I mentioned the schools and what will happen to them and to marriages, but and struggling marriages and many of those concerns. But in a sense, we back away from what's going on in the world and in the church. In a sense, every year is for us to say, we have not passed this way before. As a parent of young children or teenage children, is not parenting always saying, Lord, this is a series of issues, of new issues that we have not dealt with before. We have not passed this way with our growing family before. It may be true for your job, for how you're providing for your families. We have not passed this way before. It may be true in our own personal lives that we are confronting a stress. We are confronting a fear. We are confronting an anxiety that in years by was not an anxiety, was not a stress. I have not passed this way before. There's this Jordan River before me that makes me very, very much afraid. I'm afraid that I'm going to be drowned. I'm going to be swept away in all of these things. It may well be that there's a disease, that there's a sickness, there's old age that are coming. You're passing more clearly through death. And I have not passed that way before. I will die only once without previous experience. I have not gone that way before. What will it be? Joshua, standing at that moment, stepped forward in faith. He leads, and here's really the heart of it, or the major portion of the word for us this morning, in these new, different circumstances for which he had no experience to guide him, he does exactly what Israel had been doing for 40 years when they were in the wilderness. They followed the Ark of the Covenant of God. He does not come up with a new plan. But he says to them, I don't know. I do not know. I know it's going to be different. But this is what we're going to do. We're going to do what we always did. And so he sends men throughout the camp to get them ready, and he instructs the priests and Levites to get the ark and bear it on their shoulders. We're going to follow the ark. Verses 1 through 3, Joshua rose up early in the morning. It was on his heart. He sends the elders to the camp. He says, this will be the course of action. The priests are going to shoulder the Ark of the Covenant upon their shoulders. All eight of them are going to bear that ark. And when you see the ark of the Lord your God go forward and the priests bearing it, you shall then Strike down your tents and go after it. Only you will keep a distance from that ark of 1,000 yards. You will look and follow the ark. He steps out in faith, but he does not ask God for a new plan, for a sign. He does not hesitate, but he does what Israel has been doing for 40 years. Follow the covenant, the ark of the covenant of God. In Numbers chapter 10 at verse 33 through 36, we read these words, "And they, Israel, departed from the mount of the Lord, Sinai, 3 days' journey, and the ark of the covenant of the Lord went before them in the 3 days' journey to search out a resting place for them. And it came to pass when the ark set forward, when the Levites began to carry the ark led them in the wilderness. When it came to pass, when it set forward, Moses said, 'Rise up, Lord, and let thy enemies be scattered, and let them that hate thee flee before thee.' And when it rested, when the ark stopped, when it rested, Moses said, 'Return, O Lord, unto the many thousands of Israel.'" Different circumstances, but the same way forward. It's different than the Red Sea. Not only because there's no current, but at the Red Sea, before they went into the Red Sea, it was parted. Moses that night had put his rod over the Red Sea, and throughout the night the winds blew, and the Lord opened that dry way, and before they stepped into it, it was open all the way to the other side. They could see that when they left Egypt. But the Jordan does not open until the foot of the priest is dipped into the edge, the very bank, the brim of the river. And so they march straight forward, and all they see is a swirling Jordan. And so the people might have been saying, "Joshua, you said things are different." And he says, "Yes. But we're going to go at it the same way we always have, in faith, in the covenant of God. This is the way God has always led us. It will be sufficient this year too." Do you hear that? Do you hear that? In the midst of your stress, in the midst of your anxieties, what? God will lead the same way. The Ark of the Covenant, you'll remember very briefly, had been given by God to Moses in a blueprint. It was basically a box, a major box, overlaid with gold. On the top of that box was a golden platter, the mercy seat, in which the blood of atonement would be sprinkled. On top of that box were two cherubims, angels with their wings over that box. And you remember that the Shekinah, the cloud of glory, when it was in the tabernacle, God's presence was right between those cherubims and above the mercy seat. You remember that it had a lid, and inside the Ark of the Covenant was the testimony of God, the Ten Commandments, the Word of God. There was that bowl, that golden bowl of manna, as the testimony that God would provide for Israel's need. And then there was Aaron's blossoming rod, as a sign that God would provide shepherds to lead them and to guide them, so that that ark represented the covenant, the bond of fellowship with God, which was made through the blood of God's Son, that God had held them. That ark symbolized that God held them in the blood of the atonement as his dear children. It represented God's presence. It represented God's grace. It represented God's provision, God's direction, God's care, That's what that Ark of the Covenant represented. And so it is the same for us this morning. We go into 2021 and we do not ask God to part the heavens and give to us a new revelation and to assure us and to give us special means. Yes, 2021 is different. But we don't say to the Lord, and therefore we need something more. The Lord will go before us. It's a word directed to our eyes of faith. Fix your eyes this morning on the covenant promises of God, upon the ark of the Lord thy God. Fix your going into the year upon the truth that his covenant made with us in the precious blood of Christ will stand, that his loving kindness will not alter in this year. As you go forward, as your steps go forward, hold before your eye the promises of the living God, the shed blood of Calvary, the provision of the blood of the bread of Jesus Christ, the testimonies of the Lord our God. Generation after generation has gone into the year fixed upon the covenant promises of the Lord our God. And generations have gone into the year that was not normal, that was totally different. In 1940, in the Netherlands, when war struck and their churches were blown up, they could not worship and they were hunted by the Nazis and they feared for their lives and for their children, and hatred was in their land. And the Lord led them the same way that he will lead us. Faith, the eye of faith on his promises. Secondly, follow. Fix your eyes on the covenant. Follow in reverence God's commands. We notice in the passage the insistence of Joshua that when they followed that ark, they would do so in reverence. Reverence for the majesty, the holiness, and the glory of God. He told them, you have to stay 1,000 yards back. You can see it. But there will not be a fleshly familiarity. This is the holy God. He says to them in verse 5, you need to sanctify yourself. You need to wash yourself. And the emphasis here is that God is present with us. God is present with his promises. But holy and reverent is his name. And holy must the people be who follow him. So the point is, concentrate in this year on the growth of holiness in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't concentrate in 2021 on the issues, first of all, before you. Don't concentrate on wealth and money and finances. Don't concentrate on yourself and your own circumstances. Don't be drawn into any of those, but concentrate always on this, that you would draw personally closer to God, that his strength and grace might be more and more in you, that you might be a holy person, that you fight your sins, that you see your pride, that you put away your jealousy, that you confess your hate, that you become holy. Sanctification, to be made holy by God's grace, is the strength of faith. A strong faith is a reverent faith for God. A faith that has grown flabby. A faith, a life that is irreverent. A life that does not pine after being holy in Christ. That's a faith that is flabby and has no power. A faith that is strong is holy. And then, number three, have one dominant thought. The living God is among you. Your God, the mighty God. As I was with Moses, I will be with you. You don't need to know the road that you have not traveled, but you need to be aware that the living God is with you. Fix your eyes on his covenant. Follow him with reverence in your heart. Always remember, the living God is with you. Tomorrow morning you might awake with a stroke. Further restrictions this year might take your business that you love away. Sicknesses may come. In your family, trouble and demands, just demands upon your time. Your hope might seemingly be crushed by what happens. Fix your eyes on his covenant tender promise. Follow him with a reverent heart. Remember, the living God is with you. You will have safe passage. ...2021 will give way. He will bring you through. Israel was assured of a safe passage, though they had not passed that way before. As we said in the text, they had that assurance, first of all, in the words of God, of Joshua, tomorrow the Lord will do wonders among you. And then God himself speaks to Joshua, behold, the ark of the Lord of all the earth will pass before you into the Jordan. And so what happened that next day was that 2 million people lined up 1,000 yards behind the ark, borne by the Levites upon their shoulders. And the Levites walked forward facing a swelling river. And when they put their feet down, when their first feet came down into the bank water, the waters rose up. They stood up. The waters flowing down stood up and stopped. And so they backed up as in heap, like a heap of plowed snow. And it backed up for 12 miles all the way to the city of Adam. And the water behind that stop flowed away. So as it went down to the Dead Sea, all of that land was exposed. And Israel passed over right in front of Jericho. Right to the eyes of the people of Jericho, they walked over on dry land. Child of God, you will not perish in 2021. Church of God, you will not perish in 2021. We have not passed this way before, but he is the God who passes over with us. Fix your eyes upon his promises. Follow him in holiness. Abide in the thought that God is with you. And step into the Jordan River. You see this year swirling past you. Surely, you say, it means problems. Surely there will be fears and anxieties and temptations. I'm going to be swept away from my faith. I'm not going to be able to endure what the Lord brings to me in this year. It is not true. He will part the Jordan for you. Should the Lord tarry in 2021, and should he not take you in death to glory, you will come to the other side, 2022, and you will bless him for his faithfulness and for his goodness, for he will not fail you. You will pass over, and all Israel passed over on dry ground until the people were passed clean over Jordan. So it will be. May Jehovah, his blessing rest upon us. May his spirit and word be our strength. And may his sure promises remain the power of our life. Amen. We thank thee, Father, for the word. Now, O Lord, give us that faith to strike our tent and to go forward into this year, confident that thou wilt give us to pass over, desiring only to grow in grace, to grow in service, and to be to the glory of thy name. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.